Welcome to Working From Home and Living to Tell About It, the podcast that brings together old pros with a custom home office, newbies working on a laptop from their couch, and those thinking about taking the leap to working from home. Hear real stories of challenges, struggles, and successes from those who live the work from home lifestyle. And along the way, pick up great tips, advice, and life hacks to make working from home both fun and productive. Now, here's your host, nationally recognized technology expert and longtime working from home professional, Marcel Brown.
Welcome back to another episode of Working From Home and Living to Tell About It. I am your host, Marcel Brown, the most trusted name in technology. Today, I have with me special guest, Melissa Smith. Now, she is the founder and CEO of the Association of Virtual Assistants and the PVA, a firm that matches clients with the right virtual assistants. She's also a best-selling author of two books, Hire the Right Virtual Assistant and Become a Successful Virtual Assistant. Additionally, Melissa also mentors for Remote How Academy, the first global online education and individual certification program. Melissa has been featured by ABC, NBC, CBS, Entrepreneur, Forbes, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, U.S. News and World Report. And most recently, Melissa was named Top Virtual Assistant Consultant of the Year, a Top 10 Most Inspiring Woman in Business 2022, one of the Top 100 Dynamic Leaders, and a Trailblazing Female Entrepreneur to Watch in 2021. Well, welcome, Melissa. That's quite an impressive list of credentials there. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I'm living to tell about it today.
Well, very good. And that obviously brings up the topic of today's interview. We're going to talk about working from home. And from what I understand, you have quite a interesting work from home experience. And certainly in your work now, working with virtual assistants, a lot of them do work from home. So we're going to talk all about that. But let's get started to talk about your work from home history. So tell us how you got started.
Yeah, it just, you know, it feels like it just happened, but now because it's been so long ago, I can see how it started all coming together. And as an assistant, there's a lot of downtime in the office. You go through highs and lows. I was working at private independent schools and universities. So definitely a lot of like really busy season, all hands on deck, don't call in sick kind of times. And then after that, you know, you have your rush and a little bit of summers, the, you know, winter breaks and things like that. And I just thought, wow, you know, do I really need to come into an office? And I would start looking around, but everything that I looked at from remote work just was seemed, you know, scammy and ridiculous, like not a living wage to say the least. And so I just didn't really pursue anything like that. But then in 2012, my husband passed away suddenly, and that really changed everything, and including, we were living in Georgia at the time, and I moved back to my home state in California. My son was already in college. My daughter was a junior in high school, and we were there for almost a year, and everything was great. I had a job that I loved, and I thought I was going to be there forever because the average person who worked there had worked there for about 27 years. So I'm like, why would I ever leave this place? This is awesome. But then my daughter came to me and said, I don't want to live here anymore. I want to go home. I want to graduate with my friends. And I knew I had to give that to her. So I went to my boss to give my 2 weeks notice. And he said, we don't want to lose you. How can we keep you? And I said, well, I can do most of what I do virtually. I don't have to be here in the office. And he said, okay, let's do that. And so then I was like, awesome. It's great. I'm going to work from home. And I go back to Georgia, I'm working from home, and I had this little taste of freedom and flexibility. I was 3 hours ahead. I was getting things done. We had this working rhythm down, and the school sent out contracts every year. And I got my contract a few months later, and I thought, you know, what if I could do this for myself? Because by this right. time, I wanted all the freedom and flexibility. Mm-hmm. I wanted to experience it. And so I sent the contract back unsigned. They were super supportive. They told me I had a job anytime I want. I'm still friends with my old coworkers and bosses. I finished out my current contract, and then without a business plan, I was super naive. I didn't know what I was doing. I started my own virtual assistant business.
Yeah. Similar story for me. I kind of started on a wing and a prayer. I didn't know anything about business. In the last 21 years of running a business, I've certainly learned a lot. But I think your story to get started is there's some common themes with people who work from home. You know, you researched prior to your opportunity to go back to Georgia. You researched these remote work opportunities, and I think a lot of people do that, especially younger demographics. They grew up with the internet. They understand the technologies are there. Even if they're not tech experts, they are very tech savvy and comfortable. And I think there is a general expectation now that remote work should be possible, whether it's working from home or remote work anymore. They're kind of one and the same in many regards. And I think it was interesting that you were going to leave, because you assumed there wasn't a work from home opportunity, yet they wanted you to keep you. So they presented that, or you thought about it and presented it, and there you go. So I think that's another good theme to keep in mind, is you shouldn't assume the opportunity isn't there. You just have to talk about it, ask about it, right? So if you want to elaborate on that.
Yeah, that question has come to me a lot. And so the first thing is, I worked for a really great company. I've never had a boss that I didn't really enjoy working for. I've never worked for a company that I thought, oh, this place is terrible. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of people have, and then they're often surprised when the company is unwilling to budge, no matter what the circumstance. And so I think that's the first step, working with great people, great cultures, great companies. And then from there, being able to take advantage of opportunities. So I was the first person to ever be remote at this company. It was a school. Like, it's like, that's just not how it was. And here I am, the assistant, right? But there was something in me that just took advantage of that opportunity. I still consider it kind of like an out-of-body experience. But you're right, I was researching. I just didn't find it. But, you know, when that moment or that opportunity comes, that's your chance. That's your time. And it wasn't as if, you know, he said, okay, let's do that. And then that was it, right? I had to present my case, because there were other people that I also supported in the office. What was this going to mean for my coworkers? What was this going to mean for my duties? And I had to map out what that would look like and how it would run and how I was going to be able to do my job to the same ability that I was able to do it in the office. And I was able to do that. It wasn't just, well, you should just trust me. Mm-hmm. Well, you should just know. I listed out my job duties, the times and percentages that I performed them, the number of people that I served, and any time that I wasn't going to be able to do the same thing before I said or suggested that someone else do it. I also contacted that person and said, would you be able to take this on if I took something off your plate?
Very good.
And you know, so it was not just, oh, Melissa's leaving, let me, you know, get her work. What mm-hmm. don't you like that I could do virtually?
That's very good. I really, that key there, I think, is very important in the bigger picture that you're painting, which is, number one, choose wisely who you work for, and choose companies that actually value their employees and value you specifically, because then they are going to be much more likely to listen to the idea of remote work or working from home. And then number two, you were very organized and you laid out the plan. And I think for a company that's new to working from home, they're going to want to know. And so it helps to be super organized like that, which then also does lend itself to having some self-discipline and organization at home, which is something we can maybe talk about here soon. But I think that was great in that you didn't just assume that people would take the jobs. You worked with them and negotiated, basically, I'll take something if I can give you something. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, you know, because you want to keep that same company culture, right? The company culture is we're a team here. I don't want anyone to think I'm getting special treatment. I'm still going to be working. I wish I could be here. I'm actually not. But I also made it known that, you know, we had some big company meetings every year. There were some events that just, they really felt brought everyone together. And I made known that I'm willing to come back for these events. I'm willing to be on campus. I'm willing to do these things, you know, once a quarter or, you know, whenever it makes sense. If there's some kind of big meeting, everyone, you know, and we have plenty of time, I'm willing to do that. It's not that I don't want to be a team player. It's that I physically have to leave because mm-hmm. I'm raising my daughter in another state. And so when we're talking about, you know, yes, this is my life and these are my needs and these are my wants and my desires, but no, I'm not paying myself. No, I don't work on an island. No, I am not the sole person and everyone reports to me. So going in and showing that I've not thought just about my needs, I've thought about how this is going to impact everybody in both possible positive and negative ways. And here's my intention. And here's how I know I fit into this place. Here's how I want to continue to fit in. Here's how I don't want to disrupt the culture as well. And that really goes a long way. And everyone knew I always really did have the best interest. And so it would have been easy for me to send that contract back unsigned and then just deciding to terminate my contract that I mm-hmm. currently had. But they knew that I would never leave them hanging. They knew that although I was not going to come back the next year, that I was going to leave them better than I found them. And I was going to do everything in my power to make sure that no one was, you know, left with a right. ball drop and was going to suffer because of it. And too often when I'm consulting with people on, you know, how they can go remote or how they can go to their boss, they haven't even come up with the pitch for how this is going to positively and negatively impact people. There are always going to be negatives, even if they are only perceived. But a person's perception is the reality. And by choosing not to address them, you're literally ignoring that person and they're not feeling heard, which means they have no incentive to hear you out either.
Right, right. And I think one of the positive things you said there, you know, going back to being prepared, planning everything out. Obviously, during the pandemic, a lot of people got thrown into working from home with virtually no preparation. And that may still occasionally happen in the future as far as working from home suddenly, for whatever reason. But I think now, especially given that a lot of us have had to work from home because of the pandemic or otherwise, it's something we should plan for, have a contingency, because maybe the next job we really want is remote work, or is as that. And I think, also, as far as you being willing to travel onto campus now for you is quite a big deal from one coast to the other, one side of the country to get to campus. But for most people, I would say necessarily most, but for a lot of people, they work from home within driving distance of their office. So I think the great thing about working from home or working remotely is the flexibility, but we also have to be willing to be flexible to travel to the office as needed, so that it isn't necessarily 100% work from home. It's flexibility that we're getting and we're giving back. And I think that's a big part of it, is we can't think of working from home as, like you said, all about me, all about us. It's the team, the employer, the employee, the people you work with and for, and that. And we got to be able to lead from afar, so to speak, as you kind of have been explaining.
Absolutely.
That's great. So anyway, so to kind of go back to your story, so you did the remote work for a year, I believe you said, right? Mm-hmm. And then you decided, how can I do this myself? So you were an executive assistant for the school, and then you started a business being a virtual assistant.
Correct.
Okay.
And wow, that was It was a jump that I didn't know I was making. And for me, that's actually probably a good thing. If I had known all that I was getting myself into, I probably would not have made that leap.
Because a lot of people say that.
Super great employee. I'm an awesome employee. I mean, not anymore, but back then I was. Now I couldn't be an employee. But I didn't know how to run a business. And those things are absolutely different. They are not the same at all. And I also naively thought I knew a little bit more than I did, because I had actually said I never wanted to own my own business, because everyone that I knew that owned their own business was married to it. So I had a lot of people in my family, including my husband, who were self-employed. But it was very much like restaurant work. So restaurants were always open, right? Always there, having holidays at the restaurant. I'm like, that's not who I am. I am not going to do that. It sounds terrible. And right. Then construction, especially in California, you work when the work is there. And, you know, you just don't ever know when it's not. And so you constantly take on more jobs and you're hiring more people. And, you know, there's a lot of things that happen on the weekends. And if it's raining and then it's sunny, and it just was like, no, that sounds awful. So I never wanted to do that. But having that freedom and flexibility was like, oh, I have to make this work, because now I've had like a taste of it and now I want it all. But yet I didn't know how to do that, because interviewing for a job and having potential clients interview you and you consulting with them is a whole new game, whole new ball game. And I didn't understand basic business principles. And I almost immediately hired a coach, thank goodness, because I was failing
Smart.
Miserably. And I thought, I'm going down. And if I go down, I'm going to go down knowing that I did everything in my power to make this work. And I joke around that she had her work cut out for me. It was like sub-zero. And it just, you know, some business principles just didn't click in. Like my business model for pricing, it didn't make sense. I was never going to make a living that way. I was never going to be able to work enough hours. I was actually going to price myself out of making more money based on the business model I had. And so that was one of the first things that we addressed. And we talked about things like value and sharing the value. And I don't know how many times I heard like, sell the sizzle, not the steak, even though I don't know what that means. And being concise, oh, that was hard. Doing less, but making more. I thought that sounded like a huge scam, because especially in my job, how do you tell someone, oh no, I don't do that. You would never do that. You would never do that. And yet here she was telling me, oh no, you need to do less. You need to do less. You need to, you know, get really specific. The riches are in the niches. And I mean, it was just so many foreign concepts. But once I really understood how they pertain to business, it's like this light goes off and you're like, oh, I can see it all makes sense now. And then everywhere you go, you're like, yes, yes, yes. And it's quite a journey.
Absolutely.
And the personal journey that you go on as you're doing this professional journey is, I think, the one thing that no one tells you about.
I can definitely speak from experiences in that journey of learning all these business concepts. Like I said earlier, I had no idea how to run a business. I just knew how to work on computers and consult. And I learned a lot of the same things. We could probably do a whole episode on what you're just talking about with business concepts. So this is suddenly turned into a good episode for entrepreneurs, especially those who want to work from home. I think your advice of getting a business coach is absolutely critical. I've been lucky in my life to be around business coaches and take training from business coaches and that, plus be part of business networks, other entrepreneurs. You learn a lot from others. And so, yeah, I think if you're going to work from home, especially, there's a different set of challenges with self-accountability. And I think a coach and just education on running a business is absolutely valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, I think a virtual assistant can be part of, not necessarily accountability, but even I think you can help use a virtual assistant to help keep yourself accountable and organized, if at the very least.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Mm-hmm. I very much my clients that I still work with one-on-one, definitely we make what we're doing very much known. And so I can keep them accountable. And I can also serve as someone who's a bit of their cheerleader. And that's certainly not what they think they're hiring me for. And that's not the sole reason that anyone would hire a virtual assistant. But, you know, so much of the work that all of us do goes unnoticed. It's our job. Like, no one thinks of it as like, how many times am I going to congratulate you today for sending that email, you know? But it's that person that says, you did it. You did it. I know you had so much to do. I know you were like weighing on you. That presentation looks awesome. I know how many hours you spent on it, all the research we put into it, you know, closing that round, congratulations, and just all the little things, and being able to actually tell someone that you did it even before they know the outcome of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's often the hard part, right? Yeah. Keeping on track to hit those deadlines so then you can pitch, so that you can present, so that you can create, so you can hire more. And that's the kind of dirty work that people don't see. And that's the thing that we help keep people accountable to. When
Absolutely.
I was in office, and I still do this with my clients, I would always ask them, you know, what's the thing that you really want to do? Like, I see what's on your calendar, but what's missing from here? And it's like, I would love to be out of here at 5. I would love to be out of here at this time. I would love to be able to participate more in this volunteer group. And the first thing I do is I'm like, then we're doing it. We're going to get it on here. We're not going to wait till some best case scenario. I'm going to make it happen. And then I'm going to keep you accountable to that. And so if I know someone's working after 5, I can see them online, or I can see them doing something. I'm like, hey, you said you didn't want to do this. I'm here. You did this. This is taken care of. It'll be here tomorrow when you decide to, you know, turn the laptop back on.
Yeah. I honestly haven't thought of virtual assisting in that way, but that makes a lot of sense, which kind of, I think, speaks to one of the challenges of working from home, or even just entrepreneurship, especially solo entrepreneurs, is that missing interaction with other people. Again, it's easier today with virtual technology to be able to get some face-to-face time in that, but it can be a bit of a challenge to keep yourself motivated, keep yourself accountable, and all that. And so I think a virtual assistant, as you just explained, can be a great option for that. And I think that kind of maybe brings us to, just speaking of challenges, if you want to touch on either of yourself, your own personal experience when you started working from home, and then maybe started your own business working from home, or that of your clients that you currently have or have had, some of the challenges you had transitioning from traditional work to remote or working from home.
I think the first I'll speak to my challenges because I can speak to them most intimately. But, mm-hmm. You know, I think the first challenge is how much more time I had. The efficiency of working from home is high. You're not doing a lot of the things. There's not the same kind of downtime. And so it's like, am I doing things right? Because we're measuring productivity in time, not in output. And so transitioning your mindset to output over time, but at the same time, making sure that those who oversee your work also are measuring the same type of productivity in output and not time. If those two don't connect, then that's something that you have to work on. So I was able to do that, and I was able to create a working rhythm around that. But I was able to do it because I showed that's what was already happening. This was already a successful model. And not everyone can agree to that if you don't show them that it's successful, because that's not how we are. That's not how we're taught. And then making sure that I'm not overworking, because when you're at home and maybe, you know, you're by yourself, maybe it's just you and the dog, and maybe that's the only time you go out when the dog has to go out, because I used to have a dog and that's the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the misconception was that if you're at home, that you're not working. And I'm like, no. Remote workers have a tendency to overwork because everywhere you go, you can work. You're right. Never without the ability to work. And so very early on, I started overworking. I'll just do this real quick. And what you're doing is you're training other people of how to perceive your work habits so that they are trained to email you and contact you at those times. And it took years for me to get that under control. And I was fortunate enough to have my own office when I was traveling. I didn't always have my own office. I worked a lot of times where I lived, which was like an open space, not a separate room. But now I know when I'm done for the day, I close my door. My door's closed. I'm not going back in. It's this thing and I'm leaving. And it's very important because the same way you would leave an office and you just kind of like, you know, just kind of shed that office, you know, vibe from you. Mm-hmm. If you don't mentally do that, it's really hard to separate yourself, but you're like literally making that commitment when you close that laptop. And even if you're going to open it back up to like watch a show or something, being like logging out of everything, you know, making sure it's clean. So when you open it back up, it's not the same workspace that you look for, because remote work in a lot of ways should be routine. And I know that's hard for people like myself who are very focused and very like A type. No one has to tell us to be routine. So, you know, I'm not preaching to the choir here. For those who that's not your work style, it's not to box you in. It's not to take away that creativeness, that flair, that, you know, living for the moment type of sense that you may get. The reason that you do it is that it creates less energy that you have to work on. And the more things you can do without giving it your energy, then the more energy you have saved for the things that do take your creative energy. Mm-hmm. So for me, I wear the same thing every day. I get up. It takes me no time to get ready at all. I think nothing about it. I do things that are very routine, and I save all that energy for conversations, for meetings, for content writing, for podcast interviews. It, you know, you just don't want to just give that away to all the things in your day. And right. So coming up with that working rhythm that matches your energy is super, super important. So when you're working remotely and maybe you have coworkers, maybe there's a team, maybe there's a supervisor, and maybe you're all distributed in different places, being the one to say, I noticed these are my productive times. I like to work in 3-hour chunks at this time. And these, you know, here's what I have. And I feel like this works for me and gives me the best output. Is everyone okay, you know, with this work schedule? If we have a meeting that comes in, you know, I'm willing to make sure I make the meeting, but does this work schedule, you know, fit?
Yeah.
And people would be surprised that people are like, we can do that. Like you can tell someone, like, again, you won't be able to tell everyone that, but if you go to someone and you say, I found my ideal working rhythm to give me the best output to make these things happen, because this is the role I have. This is my job. This is what I'm paid to do, versus like, I'm just not a morning person.
Right.
I just don't like that. Like that doesn't yes. make anyone feel good.
Absolutely. Cause you're talking about being productive, which again is about giving back or giving to. And right. I think that brought it back to your first point, which I think was absolutely insightful, is shift your mindset from hours worked to output, to productivity. And that's what you're just talking about now. Is I've heard this before, that structure brings freedom. And I think you put it excellently, is if you just have a structure in place, you've already built the structure, you don't have to give it any more energy, mental energy, to do it. And that frees you up to do what it is you do want to do, that you do want to spend your energy on, because we only have so much mental energy capacity in a day to do certain things. So why waste it on the mundane routine little things that we can systematize and create a structure around and just have that routine already in place? I think that's absolutely brilliant. And then you talk about a very common either misconception and or issue that a lot of people have from working from home is it's not that you don't work as much, as we tend to work too much. Like you mentioned, we just, well, let's just do this, let's just do that. Work is everywhere. When we're remote, we can do work anywhere. And so that becomes a fault, I guess, of a lot of us working from home slash entrepreneurs as well, as we're in control of our own schedules and we tend to do too much and do it not in a routine, which then again takes a lot of energy and we don't get as much done as we want to get done. So it's sometimes, yeah, working too much, we don't be as productive. We don't have the output. And that was your point there, is shift from hourly to output.
You know, and the flip side of that is where the loneliness comes in. And so I'm not an extroverted person. I'm more of an introverted person, but I still like people. I still want to do stuff. I still don't want to live a life that's just in front of my laptop. And when you're overworking, you're often saying, I'm going to do this thing, and you plan all your things around work, consciously or subconsciously. But if you say, these are my work hours, and even if you're an entrepreneur, these are my work hours, and I'm still going to have a life. My identity is not going to solely be what I do for a living, because I can't have my feelings solely rely on, did I have a good day? Was I productive? Was I not productive? Did I end my day on a high? Was that a bad meeting? Like, there has to be something else to look forward to. There's going to be a point of diminishing returns in your work. And when you have a life outside of work, it really does help you put things in perspective. I would have this bad day and I'd be lonely. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm just, you know, a loser today. I didn't do enough. I guess I should just go back to working. And I find that people that buy into that hustle culture is just not because they bought into it. It's that they've succumbed to it because they haven't bought into having a personal life. They haven't really decided that, hey, I'm going to have a personal life so that I don't have this as my whole identity. And it's not going to tell me, like, this is you today and you were good today. So, okay, you're a good person today. And no, you didn't get that contract today. So today, not such a good of a person. So maybe you should work more until you get that contract or until you know, complete that. And you don't have any outside people talking to you. You don't see how other people are living. It makes you live in this really weird bubble. And I really started to get a warped sense of how other people were living. Like, oh, you only work that much? Like, what kind of a thing is that to say? You know, I'm like, that used to be me. I guess I didn't work very hard. And when I stopped doing that and I realized, okay, you have to do other things. You have to be excited to be doing other things, because I got so deep into it that these are literally things I had to tell myself. It was so eye-opening. And so I learned, for me, because I am so organized, that, and I'm introverted in a lot of ways, that even if I wanted to take a lazy day, that I didn't have a problem with that as long as I scheduled it. Mm-hmm. So if I knew it was going to rain and it was going to be whatever, if I scheduled on my calendar lazy day, maybe I'll order in, I'm going to binge watch a show, I'd be totally fine with that. But if I don't schedule it and I don't make plans for myself, then all of a sudden I can't enjoy it as much because I haven't committed to doing it. And it's a thing like a lot of perfectionists and recovering perfectionists have a problem with. But I try to have one or two things on my calendar every week that are personal and have nothing to do with business. Business won't come up at all. Because the thing about it is, when you work from home, it's, if you're not happy with work and you haven't created this personal life, you can feel like a prison in your own home. You can't get away from it. Because especially if you're like, now I keep my laptop only in my office. For a lot of times I would take it, you know, other places. And then you can see yourself at other places as you're doing other things. And it's kind of like, oh, that's, I work there for that. Oh, that's where I was when I sent that email. This is where I was. for this. And it can get so lonely and it just consumes you, yet you can't break the cycle because you haven't allowed other people, again, for that accountability piece. Hey, do you want to go, you know, grab a drink, catch a movie? And the pandemic made that worse in a lot of ways. And people are now having to relearn how to do those things. And it's not the same for everybody. Everyone hasn't gotten to, you know, the same post-pandemic level. So some people are still, you know, just trying to figure that out. But it actually is something that people have to figure out and do on their own. And so I think that's one of the reasons that networking has spiked again. People are like, I need people. People weren't good for a long time, and then they burned out, and then they got lonely. And they're like, okay, I'm at a place. I know now I need people. And I'm in Charlotte, and there's a group here, and the girl is now just taking off. She's hired a few people. She's expanded to a new city, all around the idea of meeting strangers.
Well, and I think that is a great place to wrap it up for this episode. And I'd love to have you back because it seems like you are a wealth of knowledge of working from home and remote work. And I'm sure we could come up with some more specific topics to talk about. But just to wrap up real quick, from reading the article in Forbes, of which I will link in the show notes so people can go see that article. Sounds like you've been working from home for almost 10 years or close to 10 years?
Yes.
Okay. And so I should have started with that just to get an idea of the context of that. But obviously, you've got a lot of experience. You've experienced a lot in working for yourself. I should say working for someone else from home and then transitioning to being a work from home entrepreneur and working with probably a lot of other at home entrepreneurs. So Melissa, it's been fascinating. Is there anything you want to wrap up with before we finish this episode?
You know, I just want to encourage people wherever you're at, whatever place that you're at, it's okay. A lot of times we are hard on ourselves about things we should have done differently. We should have done this. Oh, if I only would have known. And that's the thing. You didn't know. I made a lot of mistakes. I think I invented a few mistakes. But the point is I learned from them. I can't go back and redo it. I didn't make the mistakes with the knowledge that I have now. I didn't have enough knowledge then. So if you're like, oh man, if only I would have known, try not to beat yourself up too much about that and just take that information, know what you know now, and create the life that you want.
That's great advice. We all make mistakes. Let's learn from them and use that to move forward. So Melissa, thank you so much for being on today.
My pleasure, Marcel. Thanks for having me.
And definitely let's talk and see if we can get you on in the future. So for Working From Home and Living to Tell About It, I am Marcel Brown, and stay tuned for the next episode coming soon.
Thank you for listening to the Working From Home and Living to Tell About It podcast with Marcel Brown. For more information about the episode you just listened to, visit workingfromhomepodcast.com. Please subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and share this podcast with your friends and family who work from home. See you on the next episode of Working From Home and Living to Tell About It.